Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I can tell you we are in store for a word today. Grab your Bible, get yourself situated wherever you are watching, and watch the Spirit of the living God take you somewhere today that's going to be insightful, encouraging, transformative, powerful in your life. I'm coming from the book of Jonah, the first chapter. So grab your tablet, your iPhone, whatever you got, your Bible, old-fashioned pen and pad. Come on, let's go into the word of the Lord. Jonah, the first chapter, the Bible says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest of the sea on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Perhaps your God may consider us so that we may not perish. And they said one to another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for who caused this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? And so he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10 says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. I read 13, 12 passages of this text to give you context. I read it because I wanted you to understand without any ambiguity what God is trying to say to you today. And these 12 verses of scripture that I have given you lays the groundwork, the foundation for this message titled Unexpected Shores. I believe that we are in a season that is going to cause many of us to find ourselves on unexpected shores. And as we step into the book of Jonah, which to many of us is familiar Sunday school story, would you be so inclined to let a preacher preach from a Sunday school message and perhaps glean something very powerful from it? I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants us to hear this word today. And so open your heart, open your mind to what he has to say. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Without a word from you, we cannot live. And so, Father, our hearts lay bare, open to receive such a word. Our ears stand ready to be anointed to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us today. As your word comes forth, Father God, let it bring correction, direction. Let it bring insight and clarity. Let it move us to the next dimension. Let it bring healing. I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you for your spirit that is moving right now and permeating every atmosphere that is tuned in right now and everyone that will tune in later. I thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The book of Jonah is the perfect portrait of an individual who is reluctant to follow where God wants him to go. And that portrait paints for us the perfect understanding of God's mercy and of God's goodness and of his grace. It paints for us how God is unyielding in his purpose, that he is relentless towards us. It shows us that he is not willing to give up on us even when we give up on ourselves. It is the perfect portrait for us to step into this moment to understand that God is about to bring us to some unexpected shores. And so there's a sense of gratitude when we go into the book of Jonah, when we read it, knowing the Sunday school story that it is and understanding of it. There's a gratefulness because even reading it, there should be a gratefulness that is even included in canon. Somebody who decided outrightly that I will not follow God, I will not go where he wants me to go, made it into the scriptures, made it into the books of the Bible. His story is being told. How outlandish, how bold, how I can't believe he would do it. Such audacity, the unmitigated gall of anybody that would choose to do that, but yet still makes it into scripture. There is a gratefulness that we should have when we read this text because God is providing a picture of our human nature through Jonah. He's showing us right here that we all have the inclination, the proclivity to run from him, to choose our own preference over his purpose, to decide to go at it ourselves, to declare that we are self-made. That's a laugh, that we are self-made and we're declaring it to the self-existing God who made everything out of nothing, created the heavens and the earth ex nihilo, out of nothing. And yet we declare to God that made us that we are self-made. It's amazing to me that when we open up this scripture, we can see God hand working through somebody who didn't really want to be used of God, really didn't want to line up with him, really didn't want to participate with his purpose. But Jonah is not alone. You can see that in Moses in Egypt. Would you consider for a second, though he could do more than he really could, and God called him after 40 years of preparation when he thought he could do less than he really could. He expressed total reluctance as he stood before the burning bush, Moses did. And the Bible says that he was trying to excuse himself from the opportunity. I cannot talk, I have a stutter. And God's response was, I'll use your stutter. God always responds by saying, I'll use whatever you got. Even if you can't talk, even if you can't walk, even if you can't move, I'll use what you give me. Jonah is not alone. He has Moses included. He has Gideon there with him. Consider Gideon for a second, who God called to lead against the attack of the Midianites. He argued with the angel, explaining why he couldn't do it. King Saul also had the same argument, who stood head and shoulders above everybody else, yet he hid among the luggage when Samuel found him. Consider Jeremiah, who was called to be a prophet to the nations and debated with God on the basis of his age. And God had to remind him, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you, because your birth date is not your start date, Jeremiah. There are people scattered all throughout scripture that reminds us of the same sort of reluctance. But Jonah's reluctance didn't take the form of the debate. He simply ran in the other direction. He simply decided, I'm going a different route. I don't care which way the Lord says go. I'm going a different route. I am not going to Nineveh. And it wasn't because of God. It was because of the people that God assigned him to. Jonah wasn't running because of God's presence. He was running from God's presence because he just simply didn't want to deal with those people. He thought they deserved everything that was coming to them. And he didn't want to see anything happen that was necessarily good to them. Jonah was racist. Lord have mercy, drop my Bible. Drop my mic. Jonah had bias, not implicitly, explicitly. He basically said, I don't deal with them. I don't get down with them. And chose to go a different direction based on his bias. What are you biased to? That you refuse so much so because of the bias to go where God is calling you to go. It's not just race that you could be biased to. Some people are biased to success because you're so used to failure. You're so used to not having. You're so used to lack that just the mere thought of having more is fearful. What are you biased to? Jonah's reluctance wasn't a debate. He just simply decided, I'm going in a different direction because of his own internal biases. He didn't object based on his inabilities, but the irrationality of Nineveh to repent. He thought the culture was evil. He thought they didn't deserve God's goodness. Jonah got too bougie to be used of God. And perhaps he forgot for a second how far God has brought him from. So he ran, and days later he discovers this one principle, that when God calls you to something, you cannot outrun it. That when God calls you to an assignment, to a purpose, to something that you were designed to fulfill, it doesn't matter where you go, it will hunt you down. God hastens after his word to perform it. And so he discovers this principle that he cannot outrun God. And now he's boarded this ship, and he's paid for his fare to go in the other direction. He's down in Joppa. He's headed towards Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And this is where he's traveling because he simply can't get over his own bias. It's amazing the blessings that we miss when we can't get over our own bias. And so the Bible lets us know that when we cannot get over our own bias, my first point, here we go, is that we miss the privilege of partnering with God. Peter almost missed the privilege of partnering with God when God gave him a dream of unclean things. And he said to him in the dream, Peter, rise, slay and eat. And Peter said in the dream, unconsciously, he wasn't awake, unconsciously, he said to God, no, I can't eat unclean. I'm Jewish. And God had to remind him, do not call unclean what I call clean. because there was going to be a man that was praying to receive the Spirit who wasn't Jewish, and Peter would not have went to him. But God had an assignment for Peter that was on an unexpected shore, that was outside of his norm. God has an assignment for your life that's outside of your normal. This is what's coming next. This is what's about to occur. And if you cannot get over your bias, you're going to miss the blessing of your next season. Because perhaps God is not calling you to the same old stuff and the same old folk and the same old way. Just maybe he's about to put you in a whole different place and expose a whole different capacity. So you can touch a whole new generation or continent or a whole new market. This is what God is trying to show us. You miss the privilege of partnering with God when you can't get over your own biases. And so he boards this ship, and the ship begins to be in turmoil because he's on it. You got to get out of the wrong boat. Could it be that you're causing turmoil in something because you don't belong there? I know that's a lot to take in. I know I'm going to sit back down because I don't want you to lose me. I know that's a lot to take in. I know that's a lot to deal with, but you have to ask yourself in this season, am I aligned with God's assignment for my life? Or am I holding on to something old that's leaving me in a place not to receive new wine? I can't have a fresh anointing because I'm still holding on to an old word. And so the sea is starting to eat up the boat, and the boat is breaking up. And the mariners were so afraid that they're throwing everything overboard. They're trying to save the ship. They're trying to make it. And they start praying, and they start casting lots, and everybody's praying to their God. But Jonah is in the bottom sleeping. And the captain of the boat came to him and said, "Hey, sleeper, what is this? Get up and pray to your God. Are you sleeping through this season? Waiting for it to be over, only to come out of your slumber the same? Or are you moving in this moment to realize that the next thing that comes is going to show up from the next you? Or are you trying your best to simply run and hide and refuse to partner with God because where he's taking you is so unfamiliar and so unaccustomed to what you know that you're so afraid of it that you said, I won't do it? The captain finds out his game and says, "No, sir, not here. You're not going to sleep through this season. Get up and start praying to your God." And when they cast their lots, they say, "Where are you from? What's your occupation? Who your folk? What you do? Who your grandma is? Who you be with?" They want to know everything about him. And the Bible says that he tells them he's a Hebrew and that he fears the God of heaven. He's declaring who his God is. You see, it doesn't matter what situation you try to run from, because when you find yourself in any situation, it's going to come a point where you're going to have to declare who your God is. Yeah. Oh, I used to try it myself back in the day, man, when I didn't want nothing to do with God, and I would get high and I would drink, and it wouldn't matter. Folk would find me in the club, find me on the corner just to remind me, "You don't belong out here." I'd be having a good old merry time smoking and drinking and doing my thing, and some person, addicted person, would come up to me and prophesy and say, "You know you don't belong out here." Because you can't run from what God calls you to. There's going to come a point where you're going to have to tell somebody who your God is. And Jonah is in that situation and circumstance where he has to tell them who his God is. It is a reminder to him that he's running from God. And the men were so afraid, they said to him, man, why you put us out here like this? Why did you put us in this predicament? Which leads me to my next point. When you refuse to participate and partner with God in this season, you have to realize, point two, that it is your choices that will damage more people than you know. Refusing to cooperate with God is a choice, which means that there's a people that you are assigned to that is not getting what they need because God is going to bring it through you to them. You can cause more damage by your choice to more people than you realize. This season is not about you. It is not about you. This is not about your preference. It is about God's eternal purpose. And you have to let go of your preference if you are going to see God's purpose orchestrated in your life. Oh, if I had it the way I wanted it. If I had it the way I wanted it. Come on, somebody. We all have that story. But that's not how this works. You can't pick up your cross and follow him if you're holding on to your preferences. It's not possible. You can't say my way and your way. You can't say my will and your will be done. You have to make a choice. Not my will, but thine will be done. I have to let something go to pick up my cross and follow him because I can't carry that and carry all my cares at the same time. So I have to cast my cares on him. Why? Because he cares for me and I'm carrying my own cross. Have to hold the tension of truth, much like Christ did. And that's why I can do all things through Christ, because I won't allow my reality to affect my theology. I won't let it happen. God is still good and when things are bad. That's what carrying your cross means. It means to hold the tension of truth. And if truth is truth, it's true everywhere. And so Jonah is learning that his choices are damaging more people than he knows. Than he knows. And when we make choices like that, we become desensitized to tragedy. And God has designed us, built us, called us, fortified us, anointed us to be interrupters to tragedy. And when we become desensitized to it and look at it, we can bypass it without even any acknowledgement. And when tragedy goes unacknowledged, it goes uninterrupted. When you can look at trauma and see it and not acknowledge it, then the tragedy that the trauma caused goes uninterrupted. And people are crying out, God, where are you? And it never dawned on you that he sent you. He sent you as that point of prayer. He sent you as that person that's going to cook something for somebody and take it over there. When God laid that person on your heart, he didn't just do it for you to say, God laid it on my heart and I got a word of prophetic. No, get out of all of that. He did that so that you could do something practical, not something prophetic. To help somebody. That's why he did it. You're assigned somewhere. And you got to get yourself aligned with your God-given assignment of the people that you're called to help. And we got to do away with this want for our assignment to be on platforms. Because the majority of ministry is not from the pulpit. It's from the pew. The pulpit's job is to edify, build up the folk in the pew so that they can go do the work of the ministry. Your work is not always up here. It's out there. Go into all the world. We need God-filled scientists and God-filled doctors and God-filled nurses and God-filled teachers and God-filled principals and God-filled politicians and go into all the world. And he wasn't talking about just geographical location. He's talking about strata. Go into all of the stratosphere. Go into every area. Go into business. Go into science. Go into technology. Go into education. Go into medicine and health. Go into all the world. That's what God is looking for. But we have become so enamored with ourselves that we're missing our assignments. And so we're desensitized to the trauma and to the pain and to the hurt. And we're waiting for the pastors to do it all. That's never going to happen. God called you. And the Bible says that Jonah is discovering these principles. And as he discovers these principles, he says to them, I'm causing you harm. They say, what shall we do? He says, throw me over the ship. Now, I need to pause for a second, and I need you to understand that this is a huge decision for Jonah. This is a moment where he's going to discover how much God loves him. It's a moment he's going to discover the mercy and the grace of God that is more profound than anything that he has ever experienced. It's where he discovers my third point. Because when you stop and think about who you are impacting by trying to hold on to your preference rather than pursuing what God purposed, that's when you regain your perspective. And it is here when Jonah says, throw me over the boat, that he is regaining his perspective. The Bible says he tells the men, throw me over the boat. He says, because I know that this great tempest is because of me. I made a bad choice. The Bible says, but nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not because the sea continued to grow more tempestuous and it gained more strength. And so he said, cry out to the Lord. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and they said, don't let us perish because of the life of this man. And don't let us perish because of innocent blood. They thought, if we throw you overboard, we're going to kill you. And if God is mad that you're on the boat, what are you going to do to us if we kill you? And so they were at a crossroads. They were saying, we can't kill you and we can't keep you on the boat. We don't know what to do. And so they decided to heed Jonah's words because Jonah had regained his perspective, and they throwed him over the boat. And when they threw him over the boat, the Bible says that they started praying because they feared that God was going to get him because they threw him over the boat. What they didn't know is that when Jonah gained his perspective and when they picked him up and threw him over the boat, that the Bible says that God had already prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah up. Can I tell you that I know we're coming out of a very difficult season. But can I remind you that God only allowed us to endure this season so that we might regain our perspective and gain a new want, a new zeal and excitement and a fresh anointing for the assignments that he called us to. And though we're coming out of a difficult season, I want to remind you that God has already prepared a great fish, that the boat that you've been just thrown over, that the whole world that's been turned upside down was caught by the great fish he prepared. Jonah is indicative or representative of all of us right now who are trying to figure out our next assignment. And the great whale is indicative of the difficulty that we're about to come out of. And though we've been wrestling in the belly of the whale for what it feels like an eternity, the Bible says he was in there for 3 days and three nights and was in complete and total anguish. It describes that he was in the belly of the fish and he cried out to the Lord because of the affliction. And he answered, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. That's when you gain your perspective, when you're in the belly of the whale. 2020 was a whale, baby. Oh, God, it was a whale. And if you didn't cry out when you were in the belly of the whale, of God, when is it going to end? And if your cry for help didn't turn into hope, then just maybe you've let yourself give in to the overwhelming anxiety of distress. And Jonah is still crying out to God in the belly of the whale because he doesn't know that God prepared the fish. Oftentimes we're in the middle of a whale. We don't know that God prepared it for us. God is faithful, and there is no temptation such as common to man, whereby God provides a way of escape. He does not know that the whale he's in was already prepped by God. Prepped to keep him and not to kill him. Prepped to sustain him, not to distress him. It was the vehicle by which God was going to use to take him to the place he didn't want to go. Oh, God, I wish somebody hear me. It was the way he was going to get to the unexpected shore. And I came to tell somebody this morning, don't be so bent out of shape about the vehicle that God is using to get you to where he's designed for you to go. You were reluctant to go in the first place, but all hell broke loose. And when all hell broke loose, you were reminded of who your God was. And you had to regain your perspective. And you had to see it as a privilege to partner with him to go wherever he called you to go. Now you're grateful. Now you're at the point where you're saying, God, will you deliver my soul from hell? He said, now you're at the point where you realize, though, you cast me into the deep and to the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me, and all your billows and your wave pass over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Somebody is regaining their perspective right now, and I came to tell you, you need to look again at the situation. You need to look again at the well you're in. He says, I looked again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up unto you. I remembered with the voice of thanksgiving that I will sacrifice unto you. I will pay my vow, and salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible says, wow, he was praying. While he was crying, the whale was carrying him to the place that God had destined him to go. Can I tell somebody, I wish I had an organ, that while you're crying, that God is already carrying you to the place that he designed for you to go. And while you're praying and your prayers are going up to him as a memorial, that he is already preparing you for the place that he designed for you to go. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to the whale, that the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spit Jonah up on an unexpected shore. Can I tell you, God is about to speak to your situation and your circumstance, and it's about to spit you out to an unexpected shore. Don't worry about the shore you're about to end up on. Though you didn't expect it, I came to tell somebody, it's a destined place. It's a God-ordained place. It might be a new place, but God is already in it. God is about to bring you to an unexpected shore. He's about to speak to the circumstance and the situation, because he speaks every language. He speaks every hardship. He can talk to every species. He is God, and beside him there is no other. He can speak to debt. He can speak to divorce. He can speak to sickness. He can speak to disease. He can speak to unemployment. He can speak to everything you're facing right now and say, spit you out and bring you to a whole different place. God is bringing you to an unexpected shore. Embrace this moment. You were thrown over a ship, but it wasn't to kill you. It was to keep you. 2020 was the whale that God prepared to bring us to an unexpected place, a place where our biases will not endure, a place where our systems of injustice has to change, a place where we can no longer ignore our choices, that they impact more people than we know, a place where we discover our assignments and how interrelated we are, that we need each other. We learn that we can't make it without each other. We learn that we matter. 2020 was a whale that God is about to speak to. It is not going to linger long in 2021. I know you're fearful that it's going to go all year. I came to tell somebody, it's not. You're about to find yourself on an unexpected shore. You're about to come out from the depths of hell and find yourself alive, whole, and well to speak, thus saith the Lord, to do what God has called you to do, to step into your assignment. Don't make the mistake that Jonah made on the unexpected shore. Don't be so bitter and so hateful that you hope folk get what's coming to them. Love your enemy. I know that's not the way you want me to end this message, but that's the way I'm doing it. Don't be so hateful that you want to see people hurt. That's not God. Jonah had to sit under a tree, and God had to give him shade, because he'd have sat out there and scorched and died from his own pride just to see folk he didn't like hurt, all because God wanted to save him. The Bible says God wishes that none should perish. And this was a year where relationships were strained and stressed, all because of political affiliations and ideologies and biases and hate and racism. In our own homes, in our own circles, in our churches, everywhere. But don't leave this season full of hate. Leave it full of hope, ready to step into your assignment to affect change, to help somebody. I pray that you understand that God is taking you to an unexpected shore. It's a new thing. It's a new place. Beloved, would you consider sowing into this great ministry? We're touching countless lives every moment of every day. I would be here for a long time to record to you or recall to you everything we've done. But I'm telling you, we're making an impact. Your giving helps us to be able to do that. So you can take out a seed right now, right on your phone, text GIVE KLC to 73256 and sow in faith believing. And we know that God will give back unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Sow your seed today. If you want to mail it, you can do it. Sow it right into the church. If you want to give online, you can do it right on the website. If you want to do it through the app, do it. Download the church app, but do it as unto the Lord and get ready for an unexpected shore. I pray that you realize that God is about to speak to the whale. I don't know what your whale is. It could be the lingering effects of 2020. It could be the debt you've incurred. It could be that your business has had to shut down. It could be you faced divorce this year because you were all up in the house and you drove each other crazy and everything came out. I don't know what your whale is, but God is about to speak to the whale to spit you out into an unexpected shore. Thank you so much for your giving, and thank you for all of you who've been consistent and faithful in your giving. We could not do it without you. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.